So we are wrapping up section 16, I believe, of Good Works. So I'm going to go through a quick review, and then we're finishing up on point 7 of 7 in these. So we are going through this book with the intent to study what we believe, why we believe it's faithful to God's Word. So what you believe and why you believe it is the goal here. Are we justified by faith or by works? Faith, okay? Not by works. Okay, so we answered that correctly. So just a reminder what justification is. It's a teaching by faith that separates biblical Christianity from all other belief systems. In every religion and in some branches of what is called Christianity, man is working his way to God. Only in true biblical Christianity is man saved as a result of grace through faith. Only when we get back to the Bible do we see that justification is by faith apart from works. And justification is God treating us as if we've never sinned. Remember that from the Catechism. And that's through the work of who? Christ, right? Christ's work, not our work. Okay, so we're going to click through the review very quick. Remember, this was a statement made by Charles Spurgeon. The child of God knows his good works do not make him acceptable to God, for he was acceptable to God by Jesus Christ long before he had any good works. Again, the justification by faith, not of ourselves, and through the finished work of Christ from all eternity. Okay? Remember, we had section that we talked about, the doctrine of election, understanding that. Okay, Romans 8, 26 through 30 illuminates this truth. So, what is works righteousness? That's the contrary to what we believe to be true. But we should understand what the other positions are. We should appreciate or at least see what the thinking is there. So we get our little cardboard thing. We'll work for salvation. Cardboard, yeah. Oh, I've been corrected. Yes. For those that are new here, there's a couple of us that make our living by taking corrugating medium and corrugating and craft liner and turning it into boxes. And we shudder when people call them cardboard boxes because they're actually corrugated boxes. We digress. Okay, works righteousness is a form of self-righteousness that believes our salvation can be earned and or sustained by doing good works. It says we can make ourselves righteous before God by our obedience. We can work our way to heaven. Okay, by doing these works. It is epitomized in the New Testament by the Pharisees for whom Christ reserved his harshest criticism, calling them whitewashed tombs and hypocrites. Right? The Bible makes it clear that salvation comes through unmerited grace. It does not come because of our works, but because of the works of Christ, Jesus Christ, on our behalf. Okay? And I'm reading these because someone mentioned to me that when I click through these points and they go back and listen to the Sunday school, which we post, that they don't know what was said up there. So it's not usually my practice to read slides to folks. So what are our works or acts like before God? What do they represent before God? Right? Filthy rags, says all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. That's from Isaiah 64. Are we still to do them? Right? Are we still to pursue kindness? Are we still to pursue working for others' behalf, helping? Right? We are. It just is to illuminate for us, that text, I believe, illuminates to us how far the gap is between us and God. So when we do something lovely and kind or gracious to another person, it doesn't mean that that act itself is filthy before God. It means in comparison. It means in comparison to what God has done for us. But we're still to be kind. We're still to be gracious. We're still to be helpful. So how does God define a good work? Remember, we went through this last week. You recall the two aspects that are helpful to remember? I'm going to take that as a no. So we'll look at this one. It's grounded in remembrance of his work, okay, and his word. So when you see an athlete, if you see, accomplish something good, they score a touchdown, they do something. And have you seen this, and this is something with the A Christian Athletes Fellowship has pointed this out and encouraged this. Do you see them do this, right? I'm pointing up. You see them look up and point up, okay? That is a act that they are endorsing athletes to do to show that their success is to God's glory, not theirs. And more of them, those that So back on track here. So grounded in the remembrance of his will and word, when something goes well for us, or something, an answer to prayer, are we mindful to thank God for it? We should be, right? I would tell you my tendency, I'm much quicker to hit my knees when things aren't going well. Right? Right? Instead of being thankful for all things, especially the lovely things, I often forget that. Shouldn't. And it's done with sincerity and a clear conscience as a service to God. Hebrews 13, 18, and 1 Timothy 1:5 help illuminate that truth. So, done with the intent to glorify God and remember his will, and done in a manner that illustrates a clear conscience or sincerity. Now, are there outward evidences of sincerity? Right? Certain attitudinal things. Are there inward evidences of sincerity? I remember we talked about the conscience thing. Remember we used to have a picture there of Homer Simpson with the good and bad conscience on his shoulder. I thought of this one being yes or no. Simple statement, is that the fork in the road on sin? Is that really the simplicity of sinning and not sinning? Ultimately, I would make a case that it's do righteous, not do righteous. Yes or no, right? Ultimately, we either act, think, speak in a matter that is conforming to God's will, which is found in Scripture, right? Or we don't. And that's the first indicator of the work that we're doing being good in God's eyes or not being good. And we know that by, or we can know that by, staying in his will, reading Scripture. Right? We don't want to have our Bible to be one of those. I don't know if you can see it very well. It's a dusty Bible that someone scribed on it. Read me. Do any of us have those? Yeah? Read me. So I'll amplify the yes, no to three ways. The right way, the wrong way, and my way. Right? Do our works suffer from that decision model often? Yes? Yeah. So, as we move through this chapter, recall that that was section 1 and 2. There were 7 of them in this. And we pulled out these salient points. Only such as God has commanded, okay? And not such as what men devise. Even if there's any pretense of good. That they are fruits and evidences, our good works, are evidence of a true and lively faith. It's not by your faith that, or by your works are you saved, it's by your faith, but evidence of your faith, the fruits, are show forth. Oh, I didn't bring that last part there. Again, our hope is in what? Life in heaven, right? Joey's got, I don't have a, okay, bring it, Joey. I'll try to repeat it for, Kyle is away. So you're thinking of sin of stealing. Oh, okay, I'd encourage you not to, but okay.
I didn't actually do it.
You didn't actually steal, okay, but thought of it.
But the deal is, I thought about it. So okay. Even thinking about it scares me because if I'm thinking about it, it kind of like it's a sin.
It's a sinful thought.
Just because I didn't do it doesn't mean it's not. But the part is the forgiveness and the repentance. Repentance is like if I did do it, forgiveness for thinking of the thought. But I do know in my heart that there are two different items. I don't know if they go together. I don't know if they're apart. I kind of do, I guess I'm just trying to verify my thought.
Okay, so when we have a sinful thought like that, sin of stealing, I would submit to you that's coveting. You know, you want something that's not yours. So that's the area there, the sin of coveting. I really want that car, but it's not mine. Now, if you just like the thing, if you want the vehicle, the car, whatever, that's you can have those desires, Joey. But if you want to take it, but don't, you still committed the sin of covetousness, right? And then you can repent, or you should repent of that and not want that. Peggy. Right.
If you took it, seeing something and wanting it, that's coveting, yes, but not taking it, that's a temptation. It's a temptation to want to take it, but you don't take it. So it's a sin, that's a sin of coveting, but you didn't steal it, so it's just a temptation.
Right.
Now, if you went and got it, walked away with it, then
you
stole it. Or you maybe even took it. Or let's say if somebody gives you something, food or something, and you have the container, you don't return it unless they told you don't return it, and you don't return it. It's kind of not returning it is kind of stealing it. And I didn't realize that until I started coming here and we started, you know, going and giving food and stuff like this for the sick and just. And it was just like, wow, you know, I never thought of it. Like a pencil. You go to a doctor's office, you know, you sign a paper and automatically you put it in your jacket and you walk away, and it's like, really? I didn't think it was stealing, because it's like, oh, I thought it was for the patients, but...
It may be. If they've got their name on it, maybe it's a form of advertising, but... Well, what I want... So, sin is a temptation that pervades our life. It's all through our life, this, right? So, and those various actions that we think about doing but don't do are sin. Think of the statements in Scripture about lust, right? Even though you didn't act upon it, person, man in this case, act upon that, that you had those thoughts, you committed that sin, right? So there is, I think, I have a lot of the same temptations in my life that I've always had. I'm better, by God's grace, at not acting on those temptations and asking for God's strength to resist. Okay? Anger being one of them, right? Pridefulness, those things as well. Yes, sir. I think we're live.
There's something that Ben said about 2.5 years ago.
Uh-oh. 2.5 years ago.
And I don't want to say all of it because I'm probably going to have it wrong anyway.
Uh-huh.
But Ben brought that up. I don't know if it's when I was teaching on the stealing or whatever that was.
On tithing. You taught
but
on tithing.
Anyway, Ben made I don't know if you call it a comment, a helpful one about he goes to a lot of hotel rooms. And
takes the towels?
Well, he said something about the pens, something about the issue of pens. I don't want to say too much on it, but it was kind of like...
He's coming down now. He's feeling... He's got.
Yeah, I don't want to say because I want to have it all messed up, and I don't want to... Ben didn't do it for... to make
you
yourself
know,
look bad.
Having things recorded, with the advent of the internet and things recorded, it's like forever, right? So,
but anyway, it was a very helpful issue at that time.
Okay.
So background first, story time. Story time. So when Eric was about 4 or 5, he went on his first sleepover at somebody's house. And he came back, and I said, how'd it go? He said, it was really good. We did this and that. And he said, Dad, they have the biggest soap. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, their soap's huge. And he did like a normal bar of soap size because he'd never seen a normal bar of soap because I lived in hotels for so long. That's the background. So what my twisted thought was that Joey's talking about was I used to... Is it called stealing, take, commandeer? The pens from the hotels, because they're in there, and they have their name on it, and his thing, it's advertising. And guess what I did with them? I'm holding it up on purpose.
Yeah.
Guess what I did with them? I brought them to the church because that's righteous. If you're stealing for the church, it's good. That's what I said. I'm not saying that's true. I'm saying that was...
Okay. So we're going to get into motives, and in fact, Ben, nicely, the final slide, we'll talk about that. 3 and 4, just in summary, was talking about good works are a product and evidence of the work God has done in us. Romans 12:1-3 helps see that, and it really is summarized in the Philippians passage 1:11. Be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That verse right there summarizes, I believe, pretty well what I believe God, or how God views good works. That they're through the work of Jesus Christ to the praise and glory of God. Okay? Bob's got his hand up. I didn't see. Oh, okay.
I think a helpful way to remember these theological points that are so important is the rule of thumb that for something to be a good work, considered by God to be a good work, it's not enough to do just the right thing. It must be done in the right way and for the right reason. So our motives and methods have to be consistent with Scripture as well as the actual act.
Thank you. And let's see if I was faithful to that in the next slides. let's see if we hung together. So 5 and 6 here speaks about, and I summarized it here, we cannot, by our best works, merit pardon from sin. And 5 summarizes, but that he, looking upon them in his Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere. What God, looking at our work, looking at what we do, through the lens or through the work of his Son, Christ's work in us, right? He's pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere. And that word reward, I will say, to me, is a slippery slope, because it kind of slips towards the works righteousness space, right? But does God reward us for behaving righteously? Yes. The peace of God, right? The peace of God that's given to us, is that a reward to our hearts, to our conscience? Absolutely. So then, to flesh that out, we went through some passages here. Romans 3:20. This is last week. The Ephesians 2 passage and the Titus passage. Okay? So, no flesh will be justified by his sight. In his sight, it is a gift of God, not of works. The Ephesians passage, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So, over and over again, Scripture, which we believe to be God's revealed will, tells us it's not of your works. Now, just how did man use that in the early church? Man used that in the early church by hiding it. They hid it. Think of how the whole practices of indulgences were done. It's because the Scripture was not delivered to the people in the pew. And it wasn't until we recall that part of the Reformation that became so powerful was the distribution of the Scriptures amongst the people. And they could read for themselves what it said. And I think I've said past before, in my growing up, the only real church-based activity or religious activity I had was Catholic. And it was such a surprise to me when I went to a Protestant church and people brought their own Bibles. That was up there where the guy read from it and told us what it said, right? But when you read plainly, the Scripture calls out what God thinks about works. Okay, I think we're on 7, right? Works done by unregenerate men, although for the matter of them, they may be things which God commands, so unregenerate, and we don't make the judgment of someone being unregenerate. Their behaviors could give us suspicion, but we don't make that declaration. But in their lives, in their evidences, if they appear unregenerate, yet they still do kind things. Remember we talked about somebody pulls over and helps somebody change a tire on the side of the road. Okay? Is that helpful? Well, yeah, it's wonderful. Right? So even though they do things which God commands and of good use both to themselves and to others, help somebody on the side of the road, other acts of kindness, okay? Yet, because they proceed not from a heart purified by faith, nor done in the right manner according to the word, nor to the right end, the glory of God, they are therefore sinful and cannot please God or make a man meet to receive grace from God. And yet they neglect, and yet their neglect of them is more sinful and displeasing God. So you can act and do, you being anybody, something good and kind, good, small g, and that's helpful to you or to others. That's good. doesn't necessarily constitute a good work, and it certainly isn't something that earns merit with God. And yet, to not do it, to drive right by, not help somebody, is even more sinful. Right? So, back to something Bob raised. So, a heart purified by faith. What do you think of that statement? A heart purified by faith. Remember what Bob said about doing it for the right reason, right way, right? So if you can't, and I'll just go ahead and underline these things, right? A heart purified by faith, doing done in the right manner to the right end, okay? There it is right there, what we've talked about, okay? So, is it possible to do something pleasing to God with a heart not purified by faith? It won't be pleasing to Him. And yet, would it be is it helpful to somebody else? Has God used terrible circumstances and people in history to accomplish good things? Right? He has. But to these two points, in the right way, to the right end, for the right reason, okay? So what, if we point back, do we know about God's definition of a good work? Right? We said, grounded in remembrance of His word. We have the Deuteronomy passage that supports that. And done with sincerity, clear conscience, as a service to God. And just think of, you know, when someone says, in fact, I was particularly thankful that the owner of the team that won the Super Bowl, when he was asked about, boy, this is great, it's been 50 years, it's been a long time since they won, all that kind of stuff, and he said, first I'd like to thank God and Jesus Christ. Okay? It's the owner of the team, the Hunt family. That's wonderful, right? It's an evidence. I don't know that he's a believer. I don't know that he's not, but that certainly is a public and wonderful declaration, right? So him doing it to God and pointing as a remembrance to God is evidence, right? And then done with sincerity and a conscience of service. I think we were talking last week and Ben raised the point that when he gets compliments now, he's trying to work on the practice of saying, when someone says, you know, thank you, or that was so good, or that worked out great, and his response to them is now what?
Praise God.
Praise God, right? Praise God. So that a clear conscience of service to God, and that the thanks isn't to me, and it's kind to say that, but you point towards God's work in your life. Praise God. Grateful to be a useful tool. So, in summary, on good works, Hebrews, and I pulled the passages out here. I anticipated that Kyle wouldn't be here to help me with the microphone. So, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That statement about seeing the day drawing near had a much different meaning to me 20 years ago than it does to me now. I guess I'm closer to the day drawing near. No one knows when their day is, but as you get older, when you get the phone call at 2 in the morning that our brother John Stanberry had gone into glory, you start thinking about that as the day draws near. Next aspect of good works to remember. Scripture commands us Let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The world doesn't often see the good things or the kind things that we do in light of the reason we do it. They think that you're being good, or you're being talented, or whatever it is. And it's not unkind of them to think that, but it's incomplete. Because that light that shines, and let that be your countenance, your smile, your joy, your graciousness, letting someone else go in line in front of you, those sorts of things. You can help them along by using a phrase like Ben has pointed out to us. Praise God. Last one. So this is the one that, for me, in the good works category that I'd like to leave with you before we move, Lord willing, to the next chapter. And it's about leading by example. And this Titus passage for me has been a good one. I actually got the New King James Version there just because the words are a little bit different in the various translations. But it's this: in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. Reputation. Okay? Those of us that have been in the military, and you know, your reputation precedes you, right? I see a couple of smiles. Yes, when you show up at base, they know. Your reputation precedes you. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That the one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Now, they cannot like you. They can call you names. And they will, they being the world. Okay? They will. Christ has instructed us and reminds us over again. If they hated me, they're going to hate you, right? Why should we be surprised? Why should we be bothered by it? Although our fleshly side gets very bothered when somebody doesn't like us. But if they're not going to like us, let them not like us because this is our example. That's our behavior. That be the testimony of our good works. Let that be the reason that they raise up against you. Okay? Because it's not for us to defend ourselves. It's not for us to somehow give a cause or excuse of what we did and why. Because if we're acting consistent with what this principle says, we're doing it with a clear conscience, pointing to the glory of God, not to our glory. And last, I'll leave you with this one. Passage from Ephesians 2, chapter 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift from God. Amen? Amen. Okay. Lord willing, I believe Ben has the next section. So for those that are working their way through the book, the next section is, let me just, because I know you're all going to rush home and read that section so you can be ready for Ben. Of the perseverance of the saints. So pick